Well, it is fantastic to be with you guys. I really appreciate the privilege to be here. So I want to start off just by sharing the topic that Sam had asked me to speak on is senior pastor versus first among equals. And through my life, if you kind of split my life in two, I just recently turned 40 years old, so if you split my life in two, the first 20 years of my life, I lived in the senior pastor model, and then the last 20 years of my life, I've been exploring and learning about what it means to be a part of elder-led churches in first among equals. My dad was the senior pastor of the church that I grew up in, and he was the lead preacher, evangelist, shepherd, counselor. He did Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening prayer time. He led visitation. He did it all. And not only those things, but he did the church custodial work. He was the Sunday school coordinator. He wore every hat in the church. And I can remember times in my dad's life where literally he was so stressed out that his eyes would twitch because of all of the immense stress and pressure that he was under. And I realized as God called me to ministry that there had to be a better way. The Bible never speaks about a senior pastor appointed to lead the church. It never uses that type of language. The weight of church leadership, I believe, is far too heavy. Not only is it far too heavy, but any man that is put into that role has the propensity to become conceited by having all of that leadership leverage. Rather, elders, uniquely gifted men, are to be appointed in God's church. In fact, we read this in Titus 1. We learn that the work of the church, you gonna switch me? We learn in Titus 1 that the work of church planting is not complete until elders have been appointed. And so, in God's calling on my life to be a church planter, I have believed that the work of planting churches is not fulfilled until I've been able to help through God's grace raise up and to appoint biblically qualified men who are able to lead those churches. And I think that as Sam points to just the God's grace over our experience of church planting, it's been because there have been faithful leaders appointed to lead those churches. And so today I've been asked to talk about this difference between the senior pastor versus the first among equals model. But before I do that, I want you to just briefly understand what I believe about eldership, and that'll help us to kind of catapult into this. First, elders are to equally share the authority and the responsibility for the pastoral oversight of the entire congregation. Okay, let me say that again. Elders are to equally share the authority and the responsibility for the pastoral oversight of the entire congregation. We read in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, to be on guard for all of the flock. And so the elders are to care for all the flock, and all the elders are to be on guard. Secondly, the elders are equally responsible to be alert to the constant dangers of false teaching and to guard the flock from false teachers. I don't have time to go through each one of these, but see Titus chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. Elders are equally responsible to be guarding the flock because of the constant dangers of false teaching. Number three, the elders are equally accountable to the entire elder body and under the loving pastoral care of the entire eldership body. What that means is that I am accountable to the elders of our church. We now have four elders at our church that we planted 3 years ago, including myself, and I am accountable to those elders. I am under their care. They are my pastors. One of our elders is here today, and he knows that he has the authority with our other elders that if I am walking in sin, if I need to be rebuked, if I need to be put on church discipline, or even if I need to be removed from my office as an elder, it is their responsibility to care for me in that way. So I have accountability. And then number four, every elder must be gifted and is responsible to teach Scripture, to rebuke false teachers, and to pray for the church. One of the distinguishing factors between elders and deacons is that elders are to be able to teach. And so every elder must be able to teach in the church. But as we are going to see in a moment, it does not mean that every elder is gifted equally in the gift of teaching and preaching. We see this in 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. So, because of all of this, because of all the things that I've shared, one man as the senior pastor of the church who controls all the ministries, he does all the preaching, he calls all the shots, is in direct opposition to the very call and person of God and what he said in his word. In the Old Testament, for the elders of Israel, we never see that there is one elder that is appointed. But even in the Old Testament, there is a group of elders. Jesus, when he begins his work in the New Testament, he appoints apostles. He raises up the disciples. There is a team. And then even in the Trinity, even in God himself, God revealed as three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, there is a diversity of leadership. And there is a unity in that leadership. And so while it may sound strong for me to say that even in God himself, this idea of there being a senior leader that is completely on his own and by himself is contrary to God, that may sound strong, but if you explore the reality of who God is triune, revealing himself in three persons, completely united, revealing his leadership in those different ways. And so at my church, just to give an example, we have, again, four elders, and I don't do all of the preaching. I do about 50 to maybe 60% of the preaching, and then our other elders who are very gifted as preachers and teachers, they also share in that responsibility. When we make decisions, we gather together, we pray together. We don't move on a big decision unless we're all unified in that decision together. We just recently purchased about 10 acres from here, 10 acres about 20 minutes from here, and in that decision to purchase that property, that's a big decision for a church to make. And the reality is, I don't want to be solely responsible for that decision. And so we needed to go before the Lord, and we needed to pray, and we needed to seek the wisdom of our body before we moved forward to make that decision. And so we lead together in those ways. There is not one man greater in authority on our team. There's not one man who has the trump card. And so if I disagree with all of them, I don't get to lay down a card and say, no, this is what we're doing. In fact, if I said, no, I think that we're going to move forward, we're going to, you know, build this building, we're going to buy this property, and they all disagreed, I need to submit to the elders and to the decision that they would make, because I believe that God has called them and appointed them to help lead our church. Now, in all this, this does not mean that all elders are equal in their giftedness, in their influence. It does not mean that all elders are equal in their leadership, in their biblical knowledge. It does not mean that all elders are equal in their experience. Some elders have more experience in leading. I've been pastoring in the church for almost 20 years now. Some of the elders that are on our team have only been pastoring for a few years. And so there is a difference in the amount of leadership experience that we have. Nor should equality amongst the eldership then lead us to assume that elders themselves don't need leadership. Even the elder team needs leadership. In fact, every team needs leadership. Let's just say for an example that we have a cataclysmic event. Maybe it's not even a cataclysmic event. Something happens that forces all of us to stay here for months. Maybe Donald Trump decides to order a stay in place until every vote is recounted. And we don't get to leave here until Donald Trump becomes president. And so it's going to be a long time, and there's going to be recount and recount and recount, and there's going to be all types of litigation, and we're all going to have to stay right here for months and months and months. At some point, there's going to be somebody amongst this group that's going to arise as the leader. It'll probably be Sam, because we're going to all hold him responsible. This is your fault that we're all here. And then Sam is going to press into Margaret, and she's really the true and better leader. And she's going to be rationing all the granola bars and the water and making sure that we can all survive, right? But there's going to be a leader. We've all experienced this. On any team, in any group, there always arises leadership, and the equality of eldership should not negate that truth, that there will always be leadership for every team. And so the principle of First Among Equals, what it does is it allows for gift-based diversity within the eldership team without creating this official superior office that then is like a senior pastor with a trump card over the other elders. What it does is it upholds the mandate for equality. It upholds this idea of accountability while still giving the opportunity for very strong visionary leadership, which is important for the team. And so very briefly here, the case for First Among Equals, I could spend hours talking about this. I know I'm supposed to have 10 minutes, which I told Sam, I'll only take an hour, I promise, right? But for the case of First Among Equals, first, within the Godhead, we see that it is the Father's work to create, the Father elects, he sends the Son, Jesus seeks and he saves. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit comes and regenerates and he goes with us as believers, but both the Son and the Holy Spirit, though they are equal in terms of their person and nature, they submit themselves to the Father. And so we see this principle playing out even within the triune nature of God himself. We see in the Old Testament, while there was a diversity of leadership, God spoke to Noah, he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Moses, he spoke to David. He gave them visions, and these men led out well. They led with teams, but they led. In the relationship between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman are equal in their personhood and in their nature, and yet in that familial relationship, God says that the husband should lead the wife, even though they are co-equal in terms of their personhood. And often, at times, in a healthy relationship, we see the husband oftentimes submitting to the wife, even as the wife submits to her husband, depending upon the nature of what's being talked about, but the husband is to be the leader. In the New Testament, in the model of what we see in the synagogue, there were elders who led the synagogue, and yet there was a ruler of the elders. And then this last example, and a lot of time could be spent talking about this, but before Jesus' ascension, he appoints Peter to be the spokesman of the elders, and Peter really becomes the leader amongst the team. And so we see this played out all throughout the scripture, that while there is a team, there's often a first among equals that is in that team. And so what is the outworking of this? How do we see this actually playing out in practical life? To assume in any church that equality means complete sharing would be to neuter the effectiveness of the elder team. To assume in your church, if you take this all the way and you let the pendulum swing all the other way, that equality means that there should be complete sharing in every way, what you will do is you will neuter the effectiveness of your elder team and the church. Let me give you an example of that. I have a very close personal example, and I think that this is why Sam actually asked me to speak on this topic, because I was a part of a church that over the course of a year, there was a committed effort made for all the elders to have an equal share of preaching and a rotation of who would lead the elder meetings. And it really negated the reality that not all elders are gifted in the same way. Some are more gifted in leadership. Some are more gifted in preaching. Some are more gifted in visionary leadership. Some are more gifted in administration. Some are more gifted in shepherding. My dad has been a pastor now, and I'll return to that story of him. He's been a pastor for over 30 years. My dad is now a part of our elder team, and he's getting to experience the beauty of an elder model. My dad is an incredible shepherd, and now he's walking in his gifting of being a shepherd in our church. He's getting to work that out in our team. So when we begin to say that all elders have to share in that responsibility, what we will do is we will limit the elder team effectiveness, because oftentimes in the role of first among equals, the primary gifting that they will have is they'll have visionary leadership, they'll be strong leaders by God's grace, they'll be very humble, and they'll be very capable preachers. And so you want to allow those people that are a part of that team to be able to lead in the calling that they have. And what that does is it allows others who are gifted in other ways to be able to lead out in their calling as well. Going back to one of our pastors being in the room, Ryan Ruckel. Ryan is an incredible organizer, administrator. He's an executive pastor, and I submit to Ryan in a lot of those ways when it comes to things of administration. He's a great teacher, and he leads out in that, and I submit to him in those ways. Now, the second part of this, when we do allow the first among equals to lead out in his calling, vision becomes more clear. The vision is worked through with the elders. But oftentimes God is giving that visionary leadership to the first among equals, and then it's worked out amongst the team. Decisions are made more effectively. Elders are able to serve more freely. The church benefits from those who are more gifted in preaching and teaching. And with that, we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, that we should let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor at preaching and teaching. And so I've heard it said before, well, if you have some elders who are making more money than other elders, then doesn't that mean that you're not recognizing equality? No, we've taken equality too far at that point. See, what the scriptures say is let those be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who are laboring at preaching and teaching. And so the fact that you have elders who are lay elders, elders who are paid elders, and then maybe an elder on the team that's paid more than the other elders does not negate the principle of equality amongst the team. But what it does is it recognizes that there may be an elder or elders on the team that are laboring much more diligently in the word and their time commitment to the church. And because of that, they should be compensated because of their time without negating the reality that every one of those elders still has an equal say and equal authority in the church, and they are equally responsible. So there's a ton more that I'd love to say, but hopefully that helps understand the difference between these two things.